and pray that they get back to us safely. This mic is hot, so hopefully that's by design, Mr. Velarde. This morning I want to look at Isaiah chapter 40. It's a familiar scripture. If you have a Bible, if you want to track with us, it's going to be starting in verse 21. I'm just going to read some verses there from Isaiah 40 in the New American Standard. Verse 21 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He, God the Lord, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It's the Lord, He who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but He merely blows on them and they wither. The storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me that I would be His equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob? Why do you assert, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Father, thank you for your word this morning. Give us understanding that we might know you and know who you are, and cultivate in us a heart that would wait on the Lord. We have a problem with waiting. We like to pray, and we like to get the answer right now. Kevin talked a little bit about this last Sunday. Amongst all his ramblings, he had some things to say about prayer. But we like to fast and pray and get the answer, get the word from the Lord right now, don't we? It's kind of our MO. I think one of the most difficult, challenging factors or exercises in the human condition is waiting. It's waiting. We want everything yesterday. We live in an instant society, instant information, access to all kinds of things right now. We want the answer now, even when we haven't waited on the Lord. But the promise of strength to the weary and power to those who are weak and tired goes out to those who wait. And then when we don't get what we want when we think we should have it, a lot of times we act like my 17-month-old granddaughter who I saw yesterday. And when we don't get what we want, we whine and we cry and kick and scream and try to get it right now, right now. I had the privilege to spend a little time with my three grandchildren yesterday morning. And in the middle of having meals and playing and doing all the things we were doing, if I said wait one time, I said it 100 times, I promise. It was wait, can we, okay, we want the balloon. Can we play with the balloons, Papa? Can we? Well, sure, wait, let's finish eating. Let's just finish eating. Here's something that you need. See, it's not that I didn't notice. It's not that I don't want them to have what they want to have and the things that they would like to have and do the things they would like to do, but maybe there's something more important, and right now it just needs you to wait for your sake, for their sake. Just wait 1 minute, honey, wait, we're going to get to it. Just wait. We pray, but do we wait? And then we wonder why we aren't immediately strengthened in the process of prayer. It's because many times we're not willing to wait. You know, Kevin said last Sunday, you know, we kind of box it into these three categories. Is the answer yes, no, or maybe? So we pray, God, is the answer yes? Is it no? Is it maybe? Sometimes the answer is wait. Wait. There's something else that's at issue here. There's something else that you need to track with or understand. I want to spend time with you. I just wanted to pick my grandpa. Wait, that's good, but can I just hold him in my arms first? Here, give me a kiss. I just want to be intimate with you. I just want to have fellowship with you first, okay? Wait on the other thing for just a minute. It's not the most important thing right now. We pray, and oftentimes in the waiting, we begin to wonder. We begin to question. We sometimes, in our frustration and pain and disappointment, even begin to wander away from the Lord. Because the circumstances seem unfair, we even think God to be unconcerned with our problems. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Don't we understand? He's the maker of the ends of the earth. Haven't you heard? Do we think that our plight goes unnoticed? Do we think our way is hidden from the Lord? It's He who sits above the circle of the earth, and we're like grasshoppers. Isaiah, that's not a very nice thing to say. In the 21st century politically correct America, call people grasshoppers. It's like Cricket Wireless. That's right. But the point is this: it's God who sits enthroned, and the rest of us are down here. It's the Lord who's enthroned over all. He stretches out the heavens. He reduces rulers to nothing. We get all up in arms about rulers, about Kim Jong-un or President Trump or whomever. We get all up in arms. The Lord just blows His breath and He says, they're blown away with the stubble, with the trash. Do we not know? Have we not understood? Joel, we know this. We know this already. Do we? Do we? Or have we forgotten? Do we need a reminder? Have we not understood? Because I think if we understood, then we'd be willing to wait. If we understood who God was, it wouldn't be quite so hard to wait. If we knew and we understood, discouragement would be a joke. If we understood who He is, discouragement would be like laughable, the stuff of a joke. Like, are you kidding? Be discouraged? Haven't you heard? Don't you know? Don't you understand? From the beginning, He laid out the foundations of the earth. That's your Father. If I understand, I would never question His ways again. Lord, help us to know and understand, but don't dare try to understand His ways. His ways are past finding out, the Scripture tells us. You can't, it's beyond tracing, the NIV says in Romans 11. They're beyond us. Instead of simply trusting our Father with childlike faith, we try and fail to understand. God, I don't understand. Why is it this way? This doesn't make sense. Have you ever tried to make sense of the Lord's ways and what's going on? How did it work out for you? We all do. We all do. Our call isn't to understand His ways. They're past finding out. His understanding is inscrutable. Our call is to place our trust in a Father who knows every star by name. Our call is to understand who He is, not try to understand His ways that are beyond us. He created the stars and calls them by name. You know, the best and brightest scientists tell us that in the observable universe, there are about 10,000 galaxies that we can observe. I mean, it's unfathomable to me. But that's just what we, with telescopes and technologies, can observe. There's about 10 billion, and each one of those galaxies, they guess there's about 100 billion stars. 100 billion stars in each of the 10 billion galaxies amounting to about a billion trillion stars that we can observe. That's a lot of stars, but guess what? There are more than that. It goes beyond that number. And he's the one who created them. And it says here that he knows them each by name. He calls a billion trillion stars each by name. Stop trying to understand that guy's ways. You can't do it. Understand who he is, that he's in charge, that he's the Lord. It's a lot easier to wait on him if we know who he is. We think it'll be easier if we understand his ways. He says, no. Is there anyone out there? Can you find anyone who's my equal? There's no answer. There's no reply. He is God, and I'm not. And I believe if we understood more precisely and rightly who he is, we'd absolutely be more willing to wait. Pastor Greg used to say this all the time. You go to the doctor's office, you don't make the doctor wait. The doctor makes you wait, right? Right? So we go to the doctor because we're in need. We need to consult somebody who's a little smarter, who has a little more expertise in certain matters than we have. Would you help me, Mr. Doctor? Can you help me? I got a problem. I need, what? Can you help me out? And the first thing he does is he makes us wait. He makes us wait, right? We wait for a lot of things in life. We wait for doctors. I went to DMV this week. Guess what they did? They made me wait. They made me, first thing they did, pick a number, go sit down, cool your heels. We'll call you when it's time. Now, we don't like it again. This is one of those unpleasant things in life. But guess what we do? We wait. We wait. I need what they have. There's something I need here. And they don't wait for me. I wait for them. We wait for all kinds of things. We wait for the medicine to kick in. Oh, any minute, my headache's going to stop as soon as the medicine kicks in, right? We wait for people. We wait for circumstances to change. We wait in traffic. We wait probably more than anyone wants to or would care to admit. But do we wait upon the Lord? Do we wait upon the Lord? Because what he says right here is those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Do we wait on the Lord? I think we tend to get frustrated or discouraged in our time of waiting because we think waiting is just this passive thing. This passive thing. There's a time for Selah, there's a time for rest, there's a time to be still. But waiting isn't necessarily a passive thing. Did you know that? The Hebrew word here is kavah. It means to look for, to hope, to expect, to linger for, to collect, to bind together. It's funny, we translate the word wait, and each one of these is some kind of action or response that you're supposed to have. Those who hope in the Lord, who look for the Lord, who expect from the Lord, who linger with the Lord, who collect and bind themselves together with the Lord, those people will renew their strength. Waiting isn't necessarily this passive thing that we think in our Western mindset. Oh, I'm waiting. That's all I'm doing. I'm just doing nothing, basically waiting in some kind of holding pattern. And there's a time for that, but I think sometimes we use that as an excuse. Brother, don't you think you should do a couple of things? No, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, while you're waiting, you're supposed to... Imagine you're at a restaurant and someone's waiting on you, right? That's what it's called. They're waiting on you. Imagine if they took that mindset. Sir, I ordered my meal an hour ago. Oh, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. It'll be here any minute. I'm just waiting on the cooks. Just waiting. I'm just waiting. No, when someone's waiting on you, you expect them to be attentive. You expect them to pay attention, right? You expect that they would like come to you and be active. It's an active thing. It's not passive, right? You want them to be available to you, right? In our time of waiting, we're called to give attention and to be active, to engage with the Lord and say, what can I get you? The same way someone who's waiting on us, we would expect them to be. Why don't we translate that into our relationship with God and say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do in this waiting? There's a time to be still, a time to be passive, for sure. There's a lot more time. Waiting is our opportunity to demonstrate and to act in the faith and the hope and the trust that we profess. Waiting is our opportunity for worship. You're going to wait. There's no way around it. The manner in which you wait is up to you. It's up to me. I'm going to be waiting anyway. How am I going to wait? Am I going to be frustrated, angry, questioning, doubting, or am I going to wait with peace, with joy, in worship, with expectation, all those things that the scriptural word says, to hope for, to linger around, to bind together, not to tear apart? So waiting on the Lord is a time of active engagement, trust, and serving. We want to fast and pray and get the answer now, but Jesus lived a little different lifestyle. He led a lifestyle of waiting and prayer that was many times completely independent of a need or of a circumstance. How often do we go from circumstance to circumstance and like, well, I better seek God right now, man, because I'm in a pickle. It's almost like we treat God like the game show, you know, where I want to phone a friend. I'm in a bad circumstance. Man, I just need some help. I just need the answer. Give me the answer right now. But Jesus, when the resource and answer was needed, it generally materialized for Christ, but only in the Father's time. Only in the Father's time, and not always in the preferred manner either. Jesus was living the consecrated life, whether he was in need or apparently not in need. Waiting was a lifestyle for him rather than an intermittent obligation. I think sometimes that's how we view it. Well, man, this is my obligation. If I don't pray, I'm not going to get the answer. I'm not going to get the thing. Isaiah says here, he knows your way is not hidden from your God. Sometimes we think like that somehow God doesn't see. God, don't you see? Can you see what's happening? There's example after example in the scripture about this. But Jesus lived the lifestyle of waiting, seeking. I need my life to look more like that. How many of you were here last Sunday? And Kevin said, you know, I don't know how anybody else prepared this, but I come up here. It's really what God's saying to me and how, you know, what I need to work on and what, listen, I feel very much the same way. This isn't like me like telling other people. This is me saying this is what God's challenging me with. And if it is a word for you, I hope you hear the same thing and I hope it resonates with your heart. My life needs to look more like that, like Jesus, like this lifestyle of seeking and waiting, not going from circumstance to circumstance. But we do that, don't we? And if we're not careful, we can kind of look at him like the divine ATM. It's time, you know, I swipe the card. It's a transaction that I need to make. There's a transaction. Well, if I do the things I need to do, you know, like Samson thought his strength was in his long hair. It was really in his constant consecration and obedience to God. Well, if I have long hair, then I'll be strong. Here's the transaction. No. It's a relationship. It's not a divine ATM, as it were. And if it were, you can't withdraw. You can't swipe that card and make a withdrawal unless you first made a deposit, right? And we aren't willing to pay the price. We aren't willing to wait. We aren't willing to posture ourselves in obedience in that way. We're moved by a crisis that drives us towards God and seeking him. We're spared and saved. Then when the storm blows over, we see this pattern in Scripture time and time again. Instead of continuing to wait on the Lord, we drift. 6 months ago, most of us in this room were impassioned and were inspired by a crisis, and it was impressed upon us to look to God, to seek God, to trust God, to cry out to God, to wait, to linger, to hope, to expect, all those things, right? But time goes on, and something becomes a new normal, or we become less in tune with the challenge. And so the challenge subsides, or maybe we just drift, and maybe we get tired, and we stop waiting on the Lord. And guess what? People are people. Pastors are people too. No one's immune from drifting. No one's immune from, well, I guess I'll just take these matters into my own hands. I'll make a decision. I can't see. I don't know which way to go. I guess I'll just do whatever I think instead of waiting on the Lord, instead of being willing to pay that price for a heavenly answer, for God's wisdom, instead of the wisdom of man. Pastor Greg challenged us with this time and time again. Now, we know God's commitment is never to leave us or forsake us, But we know part of this equation is our response to his commitment, our response to his word. Jesus said a branch can't bear fruit alone. I think sometimes we're hoping or thinking or trying to bear fruit alone. Do we have business dealings with God, or do we know him? Again, Jesus led a life that was a supreme example to follow. He said this, "I do only what I see the Father doing." Well, that's great, Jesus. What about when you can't see? Time and time again, Jesus waited. Time and time again. His mother came to him. He said, it's not my time. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. The disciples said to him, "Is this the time that you'll be restoring the kingdom?" And he said, "It's not for you to know. Go and wait." Is this the time, Jesus? Go and wait. Wait for power. Wait for the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. That word kathizo, that word wait, means to rest, to settle down, to sit down. You want the promise, you want the power, just settle down and wait for a minute. You're going to have to wait for it. Even youths grow weird and weary and tired. As a matter of fact, even Jesus grew tired. Even Jesus grew tired. John 4:6 says, Jesus was wearied from his journey. Even Christ in his humanity grew weary. Is there anyone who's weary this morning? There's a couple of people. You're in good company. Jesus was weary, just like you are. But do you know? Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? The Father in heaven, he neither grows weary nor slumbers. The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, everybody else grows weary, but he does not. And guess what? He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary if you're willing to wait. If you're willing to wait. Anybody need new strength today? A few more people. Okay, just be willing to wait for it. Be willing to wait. I'm serious. It's not going to come in a form that I think it should or at a time of my choosing. I can promise you that. But I've been called to wait, and so have you. Are you willing? Am I willing? Not as a transaction in order to get something, but because he is worth waiting for. It's who he is. Will you wait even if your strength or your answer doesn't materialize in the way you thought it would? It's a mystery. His ways aren't like ours. No, they're inscrutable, unable to be understood. Don't even question them. You won't understand them. So this morning, as we prepare to receive the elements of the Lord's Supper, I'll ask again, if there's anyone who's weary, if there's anyone who's fainting in your faith this morning, take time right now to begin to wait upon the Lord, to hope in him, to expect from him, to linger with him, to bind yourself together with him and begin to hope in the Lord. James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You may be discouraged, you may be weary this morning, but can you just draw near? Would you just draw near to the Lord in this moment? Lamentations 3 says, let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. Would you return to the Lord this morning as we receive the elements of the Lord's Supper and wait upon the Lord?